the volume.
The Colin Cowherd Podcast brought to you by FanDuel. It's never been easier to play fantasy on FanDuel. Whether you love basketball, golf, soccer, or any fantasy sport, there is a contest for every fan. FanDuel, more ways to win. Everybody wants to create a stir. Everybody wants to be bold, daring, trailblazing. But being a trailblazer isn't just blazing the trail. It's actually having the balls to set the fire, let it burn, and then walk down the trail you just blazed. The other day, the heads of all the big European soccer teams blazed a pretty impressive trail. Then that blaze became a bonfire, and 24 hours later, they pulled the fire alarm, broke the glass, and ran for the nearest fire escape. In case you need to catch up on this story, the other day, like literally the other day, all the top European soccer clubs like Arsenal, Real Madrid, Chelsea, basically told the top soccer leagues to go UEFA themselves because they were going off to start their own Super League. Then came the obvious blowback. Tons of protests from angry European soccer fans. Well, I'll just say soccer fans since soccer fans in Europe are usually angry. Anyway, the fans protested, and suddenly the teams got scared. The chairman of Man U resigned. The president of Juventus resigned. And now the Super League is neither super or a league. Figures. Everybody wants to be bold. Few have the cojones to deal with the blowback. A few years ago, ESPN signed the edgy Barstool Sports and put them on the air. One episode later, they pulled the stool right out from under them. Recently, Spotify signed the edgy podcaster Joe Rogan, then oh so quietly removed more than 40 of his episodes that were just too edgy. Those vanilla executives love blazing the trail right up until they get burned. That's not being bold. In fact, it's the opposite. Listen, I've had blowback. It's part of my career. But when I go to a therapist, I don't talk about the audience that hates me. It's mostly about my weird childhood. And frankly, half of my audience hates me. Some days, I hate half my audience. I think it's beautiful. We can at least share that common ground. These days, if you can't stand the heat, not only get out of the kitchen, delete your Twitter. So to all those bold and daring trailblazing leaders of the European soccer world, I commend you for that solid 27 hours of boldness you showed. Well done. Next time, who knows? Maybe it can last a whole week. And with that, I lead to somebody who knows a thing or two about handling blowback. Somebody who is, frankly, a master at it. He's proven time and time again, especially over the course of the last year, in how he's handled the pandemic. My friend, UFC Commissioner Dana White. All right, I've known Dana White for a long time. Don't really need to introduce him, but I've been saying the last week, anybody in life that does something first gets the most blowback. And I thought the commissioner that did the best job in the country was not Adam Silver or Roger Goodell. It was Dana White, because it's really easy to follow somebody else who takes the headwind. And it was easier for everybody else. And Dana, who started this business with about $2 million in 2001, sold it for over $4 billion. You think Bitcoin is making people money. Dana did very well for himself. It is interesting, Dana, because, listen, you got corporations. I mean, you're not just a maverick doing it yourself. You got your big beer sponsors. And so when you went for it and Fight Island, was there any part of you that thought, shit, I'm going to get some corporate blowback here from some of my sponsors?
Yeah. First of all, thank you. And second of all, yes, we definitely thought we would. But our sponsors were pretty cool, actually. They let me put it to you this way. So when we went, our sponsors stood by us and stuck with us and were very cool. Then sponsorship went through the roof once we pulled it off safely. Yeah. We killed it. We killed it in 2020 with sponsorship. And it led over into 2021. And we have we broke the all-time record for the company for global sponsorship.
You know, it's interesting because when ESPN and you made the deal, I know everybody at Fox. I know everybody at Fox, ESPN. I worked there for a decade. And I said to one of the executives there, I said, I don't worry about UFC. It's whether you guys have the cojones, because Dana White is not Adam Silver. He's not going to do what the, you know, sometimes he's going to say stuff and you got to deal with it. The responsibility is not on him. It's on you, because it's going to make you a lot of money. And when you go into a big deal, was there a moment, Dana, where you thought, okay, holy, it's Disney. Okay, it's a different baby. You know, Fox, we do The Simpsons. They do Beauty and the Beast. It's a little different brand. Did you for 5 minutes worry, got it, I got to tiptoe a little bit here?
I did worry about them, and I have to be brutally honest, as usual. They have been incredibly supportive, man. I have to say, we had that one that, you know, I was going to go on that Indian reservation in California originally, you know, because I was trying to find a way to get around all this, you know, everything was closing down day after day after day after day. And I get it. The governor of California and other people, they called ESPN, they called Disney, and they said, listen, you got to shut this down happening here and whatever. And I can't get into details, but ESPN came to us, asked us to stand down, but reciprocated. They were very, very good in how they handled it. And they've been very supportive, and the relationship has been awesome. And you know, I love my time over at Fox. I just saw Eric Shanks the other day. I love Shanks. We all here at UFC love all the people from Fox and the relationships that we had with them. But I can tell you this. You know, when you're an organization like me that started where we started, and you think about being on ESPN someday, and you think that it will be big for your business, and you think it'll be, a big moment and change the dynamic of everything, but you don't really realize until you get there what it's really like to be with ESPN.
Well, the scale is much bigger. We're a much smaller company now. We do live sports, live politics, live news. ESPN's much bigger. Disney's much bigger. So from your vantage point, I totally got it. And my takeaway, and I remember I talked to Shanks and others about this. I'm like, I'm still going to talk UFC. I buy their cards. So, and he's like, of course. Like, we're not territorial.
No,
we
have a great relationship with Fox. Fox, let me tell you what. There is no ESPN without Fox. That's a fact.
Yeah, they helped build UFC. You know, it's interesting. So I took my wife's not a sports fan, but I took her to Mayweather and McGregor. And it was the most fun. It was better than any concert we've gone to. And it's interesting, Dana. I'm kind of a traditionalist. But I grew up with Daredevils. I grew up with that shit, Evel Knievel.
Yeah.
And I remember when Ali fought a Japanese wrestler. And I watched Jake Paul this weekend. And I know it's shticky, but I'm sitting to myself thinking, if it's interesting, you have to have these conversations. McGregor and Mayweather was fascinating.
Right.
And I'm thinking to myself, you know, we can all make fun of Jake Paul, but shit, he's 3-0. He's totally into it. I mean, he's not going to be a heavyweight champ, but there's something there. I mean, how do you view a celebrity boxer who is authentic and is into it and he cares? How do you view it?
Let me tell you what, boxing has just continues to decline like this. And this whole Jake Paul thing is the right guy at the right time. And, you know, this kid's doing what he needs to do and he's going to get paid. He's getting paid. You know, he keeps, you know, doing what he's doing. He's got these kids, you know, believing, you know, they're believing that this guy is the guy. And part of being a showman and making money and doing these things and being an entertainer is all part of what this kid is doing. And he's doing it. So good for him.
You know, when you go back on the fighters you've had, some of them, McGregor, are really dynamic. They just totally, Muhammad Ali embraced showmanship. Joe Frazier didn't, you know that. Right. Ken Norton maybe didn't. George Foreman, the second George Foreman did. The first one didn't. When you get a McGregor and he's going to fight again and he's still a very good watch. I'll buy it. He's a good watch. But where is Dana White? Where are you on the, okay, now it's not good for my business? Or is it strictly pay-per-view buys?
No, it's, well, there's two different things. Well, we're talking about the Jake Paul kid. You know, I deal in the best fighting the best. There's no gimmicks over here. There's no, you know, that whole thing is a great gimmick at the right time in the right place. So Conor McGregor, you know, is still fighting the best in the world. He's still fighting the best guys in the world. And until he gets to a point where, you know, he gets so many losses that he can't continue to compete. I mean, it's time gets us all. Age gets us all. It will get, you know, it got the Chuck Liddells. It got the Ronda Rouseys. And the list goes on and on of people that we've had. But Conor McGregor in his day and his age and his time was undisputably one of the best.
Is there such thing as bad press? I will watch McGregor. I think John Jones, in my opinion, when John is focused, he is your most dynamic fighter ever. I'm not saying he's the best. That's probably Habib. But in terms of my eyes, your screen, watching a fighter focused, he's had some bad press. McGregor's had it. But Dana, is there such a thing in your business? Or do you find that, listen, do you ever have to weigh, it ain't great for my brand, but it's good for pay-per-view? Or is there bad press?
Well, there's different things. You know, obviously, John Jones and Conor McGregor's and the guys like this, you know, they're fighters at the end of the day. And I think that people, you know, look at fighters different than they look at, you know, public figures or you know, guys who run companies and maybe even other athletes too. I think they get a little more leeway than a lot
right.
of other people do.
Yeah, you're right.
So, you know, I don't think when you're a fighter, I think when you're a fighter, you know, the crazier the better when it comes to the fans. The fans, you know, love the crazy people, you know. So I don't know if it negatively impacts our business.
There's Madison Square Garden. I mean, forever and ever, it took a while to get into New York. You've had Fight Island. You had Vegas. I still think Vegas feels bigger to me. But there are cities, Dallas, Miami, London, which feel to me like big cities. Dana, tell me how it works for your business. If a city came to you, if Jerry Jones came to you and said, hey, I want to buy a year. I want to buy 4 fight cards. Tell me how that works. How do you end up where you end up?
Well, normally what we do is we travel this thing around to places that we haven't been in a while. Obviously, since this pandemic, we haven't been anywhere in a while. So we went on sale in Jacksonville. Jacksonville is this Saturday. We sold out in under 5 minutes. We put Houston on sale right behind it. Sold out in under 5 minutes. We put Vegas on sale with Conor McGregor and Dustin Poirier. 20,800 tickets sold out in seconds. So 3 events, 50,000 tickets, $20 million in revenue in under 5 minutes.
Okay, so why not go to 100,000 seat stadiums? Why not?
Well, yeah, I probably should have, but I don't know. You know, only places that are playing ball the way that I want to play ball right now are Florida, Texas, and Vegas will open up again. That one's going to be July 10th. So, you know, as things start to open up, there just weren't any places where I could really go. And I won't do an outdoor arena.
Tell me why.
Because I'm the weather is too unpredictable. And having fights outside, if it rains, if it's too windy, you know, there's certain things that can happen that will affect the outcome of the fight. And I don't like that.
You know those hot takes you post on social media? Well, now you can win up to $5,000 when you put those takes to the test on FanDuel. It's a new game called Over Under, and it's absolutely free to play on FanDuel. Here's how it works. FanDuel will set lines on things like total points or three-pointers made during every NBA on TNT broadcast. All you have to do is pick over or under for every prop. Your picks could win you a share of $5,000 during every contest. FanDuel's the exclusive home for over-under, and it's available in all 50 states, so you can play from anywhere. All you have to do is go to FanDuel.com/over-under and sign up now if you have not done so already. You create a new FanDuel account if you don't already have one. It takes less than 2 minutes to sign up. Then put your takes to the test during every NBA on TNT broadcast at FanDuel.com/over-under. They can be worth up to $5,000. Age and location restrictions apply. See FanDuel.com for terms and conditions. Dana, I think I've told you this story. I remember the first time I watched MMA. It was in the Condor. It was a sports bar in San Francisco, and it was pretty rough. And you came in, and, you know, you're a maverick, but you cleaned some stuff up. You no question about it. You saw the revenue with advertisers if you clean some of the stuff up. But it still has to be brutal. This can't look like anything else, nor does it. So you start the business, and you had a lot to fight through. Commissions in New York and states. Is it harder to do that, or is it harder now to stay at your standards that you demand? It would seem everybody would think, oh, it's easy for Dana now. He's got the damn thing rolling. But your standards have changed. Now everybody expects a certain level of excellence. Is that, compare the two, which is actually harder?
Yeah, no, I think that our philosophy in buying this thing is, you know, this many people want to see a real sport. This many people want to see a freak show. So you could, you know, build a better business, build the sport by being a real sport and following, you know, like you said, the gold standards. And it's what we try to do. You know, every time that we put on an event, I want to put on the best live product that I can for you on television. Listen, if I get you, well, it's in the real world when everything was normal, for me to get you to stay home on a Saturday night, you know, there's just so many other things that you could do. The new movie that just came out, you got to take your wife out to dinner. It's a beautiful night out. You want to go out anyway or whatever. There's just so many different things that we compete with. I have to put on a product that makes you want to stay home on Saturday and watch it. But more importantly, when it's over, you turn the TV off and you say, I'm so glad I stayed home and watched this. You know, that is what I have to deliver every Saturday. Then for the people who fly in from out of town, I have to put on an incredible live experience for them inside the arena. So those are the things that I focus on every Saturday.
Who in your inner circle? You get sick tomorrow and you got 4 days and the event Saturday and you can't get out of bed. Who is your right-hand man that you trust implicitly?
Well, there's different people in different places. There's a guy named Craig Borsari who runs all the production, who I would talk to, you know, multiple times a night. Hunter Campbell, who is my lawyer, but also my right-hand man in making all the fights and making sure that everything is done the right way the night of the fight, legally and everything else. And our chief operating officer, Lawrence Epstein. You know, I have a good crew surrounding me that I'm in great communication with all the time. Plus, all the other guys that run the show know what I'm looking for, know what I'm not looking for. It's almost on, I don't want to say it's on autopilot, but it's damn close.
Most great people I've ever met are good listeners, and you have such a strong voice. Are there ever times when one of your advisors says, Dana, this is just, it's not going to work, and you say, shit, you turn the telescope around and go, wow, I missed on that?
Yeah. So, I mean, I listen, I hired these people that are around me for a reason. I trust them, I respect them, and I listen. Lene, who's sitting right here, my head of PR. I ask her stuff all the time. I ask her advice. I ask her questions. She works here because she's the best in the business. And you know, I take her advice all the time. I need somebody to, sometimes I go fucking woo, you know what I mean? And I need somebody to fucking reel me back in and say, yeah, no, Dana, don't do that. That's not a good idea.
Have you noticed? Because when you're a young business, and I really still consider you, I mean, you've arrived. You're not going anywhere. You're ascending. But in the history of American sports, you're still young. When have you noticed that these other leagues have ever stolen things from you? Production, graphics. Like, you ever watch these leagues and think,
yeah.
Oh, you son of a blank. You stole that from us.
100%. And I love it. I mean, it's the old, I don't ever say you son of a bitch, but I go, oh, look, they got that from us all the time. Me and Lorenzo used to do that all the time. But it's awesome because guess what? A lot of what I do, I got from them. I mean, I grew up watching these sports, whether it was the NFL, Major League Baseball, NBA, or boxing. You know, I saw all these things that I liked. I saw things that I didn't like. Took from here, took from there. And it's the ultimate compliment when you see that stuff happening.
Dana, the great thing about being an international sport is the quality of your sport is just deep. There's just more good fighters. Now, there is that balance. Part of the NFL's success is it's a strictly domestic product. Hockey's international. Basketball's increasingly international. You currently have a lot of international champions, not as many domestic. This is a two-part question. Number one, why do certain cultures, Russia, why do they produce so many good fighters? And are you ever concerned that you don't have enough, you know, domestic champs?
Yeah, it's funny because as the sport was growing, there were obviously a lot of American champions, a lot of Brazilian champions. And as it's grown internationally, you know, it's part of what's helped this thing grow. When you get somebody, for instance, like Conor McGregor, when you get a guy looks like you, talks like you, and comes from where you come from, and he's seen as the baddest motherfucker in the world, everybody in that country gets behind him, you know? So he really helped Europe explode. We got three Africans right now, right? It's exploding in Africa. We're working on doing an event. We're probably going to do an event in 2022 in Africa, which has always been a dream of mine. So that's huge. And one of the things about fighting that's fascinating is, as Americans, like if an Italian, we got a kid named Vittori who's Italian. If he wins and becomes a world champion, like he's in the top five right now. If he becomes a world champion, believe me, Italy's going to blow up. Everybody in Italy will be talking about UFC and watch UFC. But in America, we don't care as much where these guys are from. We just care who's the best, and we just want to see the best compete. The guy could be British. The guy could be American. The guy could be Polish, Italian, Puerto Rican. We don't care. We just want to see the best fight the best.
I may have asked you this before. So you must have a fairly big scouting department, Dana. Like, if somebody's listening to me, obviously you're looking at tape constantly. But what's your minor league system? Where do you find guys, and at what age?
Yeah, so I have my scouting system is two guys. I have two guys, two matchmakers who have their finger on the pulse of what's going on out there. They know who all the up-and-coming guys are. And if they see somebody that's really special that they think is whatever, they'll get me involved early. Otherwise, I will see these people the night of the fight, and I decide who I like and who I think could be next. And then we start working internally to build these kids into stars.
Okay, what are you looking for?
First of all, it's a lot better when we have crowds because you can see the way the crowd reacts to a guy or girl when they come out, when they fight, when they do their interview, how they fight. There's just so many different things that go into seeing if somebody has that quality to be a superstar.
So this weekend, Jeremy Stephens in that fight
Close.
Yeah. It got canceled because there was an injury in the stare down. And by the way, the stare down part of your cards are kind of interesting, but I'm watching that and I'm thinking, oh, Dana's not going to put up with that nonsense. I mean, that got, so where do you stand on that? Are you going to make changes?
So my daughter, it's funny you say this, my daughter was competing in the ESPN cheerleading competition in Orlando, Florida. So that's where I was when that happened. As soon as I saw it on Instagram, I called Sean, who was our matchmaker, and he was the one standing in between them. And I said, what the fuck were you doing? Did you not see him coming in, you know, 100 miles an hour? You should have been in between that. I called Sean as soon as that thing was over, and it cost us the fight.
Well, it's interesting because I actually like it. I think it's really smart. By the way, that's something you may have taken from boxing, because I watched that for 30 years with boxing. I love that. Is it the first time?
Jeremy Stevens is a savage. He's a savage. He's not just coming out and having a boring, you know, low energy stare down. You should be ready for Jeremy Stevens anyway.
Is there, when you make all these matchups up, I always think, like, do you have to weigh things like, okay, I love this kid, but I don't like his style, and I'm not going to crush his confidence now? Because, you know, being undefeated doesn't really matter. I mean, McGregor still draws in, it maybe helps to some point. But how do you do when you have a young fighter, he's got a unique style, and you love him, but you have to weigh this with, I know he's better than that guy, but he could lose to that guy. It's a bad matchup for him.
Yeah, so we don't ever worry about things like that. If we have guys, we bring in the best of the best. Everybody here is the best. And the best guys that are available are who we have here, and girls. So we don't worry about that. We don't worry about, oh, if we line him up with this guy, this will happen. The fans think so. If you look at all the fan sites, they're like, oh, Dana doesn't want him to lose to this guy and things like that. We literally never do that.
I put my conspiracy hat on for that. Yep. Okay. You've been combative with the media, but I always wonder, do you really need at this point, Dana? Do you need the media?
That's a great question. And I'm very combative with the media because they're full of shit. And every time I read something, and you know, it makes me crazy. So I don't read anything anymore. I try to stay away from it. But yeah, I wouldn't say that we don't need the media. I think that there are a lot of people out there that have, you know, a fan base and a following, and have their own opinions or perspectives on things that people want to see and hear. So yeah. Yeah, I think we do need the media. I think the problem is today. Here's the problem with today: determining who's media and who's not. Anybody who can create a fucking website now considers themselves media. You know what I mean? Or if they have an Instagram, you know, now they can become media. It just, most of these people are full of shit and have no place writing or talking about anything. But there are some real good media people out there still.
Well, I have to talk about a bunch of sports. So I've always said the NFL currently in my world is a big deal. And then, you know, I talk about six things: NFL, little college football, baseball playoffs, NBA playoffs, Tiger Woods wins a major, and UFC. You know, that's kind of it, like a big fight.
I like it.
And but I can't be an expert on it because, shit, Dana, I'm a mile wide and an inch deep. That's my world. I'm married. I can't sit and watch TV all day. But I do buy the UFC cards. And so it is interesting. My perspective is I follow my audience. And when they're on to a guy, then I'm on to a guy.
Right.
So if I said to you, tell me who is going to be a fighter in the next 6 months that Colin Coward, keep your eye on, because he has a chance. He's two or three fights away from popping.
I would say off the top of my head right now is the guy that I was talking about earlier, Vettori. Name's Marvin Vettori, Italian kid. He's tough, durable, likes to bang, but can wrestle too. He's interesting. And if this kid takes off, I love when we get a guy that can get a whole country behind him or a whole group of people. So when you think about it, when's the last time the Italians had a real Italian from Italy who was a world champion that they could get behind and, you know.
Was Rocky Marciano Italian?
Yeah. I mean,
that's it.
It's either Marciano, you know, I can't think of anybody else after Marciano that was that big, that was that huge. And Marciano was the heavyweight champion of the world and one of the greatest of all time. So, yeah. So Marvin Vettori.
So in Jacksonville this weekend, you worry on a macro level about the whole card. But is there something in the Jacksonville card you're like, okay, this is interesting. This could be something, this could be a bigger storyline.
No, it's not that it's shocking or this could be a bigger storyline. Weili Zhang, our first ever Chinese world champion, female, is taking on Rose Namajunas, who is absolutely, positively one of the best fighters in the world. And I'm so excited for this matchup. I'm curious to see how it's going to play out. Weili Zhang is a fucking force of nature. She's a beast. Kicks hard, punches hard, and trains like an absolute savage. Rose Namajunas is very slick and smooth. And I'm so excited for this fight. I can't wait to see how this thing plays out.
Dana, if there's a discipline, if you were to build the perfect fighter, what is the discipline, whether it's wrestling, boxing, what is the discipline that is hardest to beat in all your years of running this?
Wrestling. If you have a very strong wrestling base, that's why early on, a lot of wrestlers were very dominant in the sport. And even today, guys who have phenomenal wrestling and then add on all the other things are very tough to beat.
If I said to you, boxing's a certain percent, wrestling a certain percent, what is John Jones to you?
John Jones was a great wrestler. He's a freak athlete, phenomenal athlete. Yeah. Comes from a family of phenomenal athletes, but has really good wrestling. And you know, then he added spinning elbows and, you know, all these different things that a guy his size shouldn't be able to do.
Yeah, I still contend Jones. I know he's had his personal foibles, whatever. I still think the two fighters, if you took their best moments, are Jones at his best 45 seconds, and Habib. I don't think I ever saw him bleed. Did he ever bleed?
Habib?
Yeah.
Yeah, no. Habib, and again, I can't remember this. Don't quote me exactly on this. I don't think Habib's lost more than one or two rounds in his entire career. He went 29 and 0, world champion, lost only one or two rounds in his entire career. Rounds.
Was it his father? I mean, was it genetics? Was it natural? Did he have like country strength? Like, to you, was it his work ethic or some of it was just genetic, the composition of his culture, his body?
Yeah, I think you take all the things you said and mix it into the pot, and it's all the ingredients that built one badass dude, and that is Habib Nurmagomedov. And you know, yeah. grew up in a rough part of Russia. His dad had him wrestling with bears when he was a little kid. Literally had him wrestling with bears. You know, the mental strength that his father built in him, the durability. He's got the chin. He's got the power, the speed, the strength. I mean, all that stuff is genetic and obviously geographic.
By the way, now that you're loaded, you're a tough guy, but are you a little softer? Are the sheets satin now? What's the first thing with money you said? This shit right.
You know what's funny? This is what I got mad at you for 5 years ago when you said, oh, that's it. He's got so much fucking money now. Forget about it. He's not going to be the same guy. He's not going to work as hard. He's not going to do this. He doesn't care as much. Yeah, none of that is true. The crazy thing is it has never been about the money for me. I've had money for a long time. I mean, our first deal that we did was back in like 2007 or 8. I've had money, like crazy money, since then. Obviously with the sale. But I already had everything. What the fuck else do I need? What else am I going to buy? What other vacation could I possibly go on? What other car am I going to buy? I've had all the cars and the shit and all the, you know, this is what I love to do. This is what I'm truly passionate about. This is what gets me out of bed in the morning. And I always say this, if you're doing anything because of money, it's not truly what you love to do. It's not what your passion is, you know? I love taking this business to the next level every time, going to the next level. And I just can't see a day where I don't do this, no matter how much money I make.
Does your wife ever say, hey, hotshot, take the garbage out?
Oh, hey, this is why most people get divorced, man. It's because I say this all the time, and I try to get my fighters through this. So once a fighter makes some money and then become famous and, you know, you go out this Saturday night in Jacksonville, people want to take pictures with you, get your autograph and shit. Then you get home and you get that reality. Hey, get the fucking, go over here and do this and do that and all this shit, you know. But that's what keeps you grounded and that's what keeps you normal. You need that woman at home that keeps everything straight.
Well, we both have
one. The answer is yes. Yeah.
Yeah, I got one too, a Chicago girl. I don't get away with anything. Dana, it's great talking to you. I really root for you, and I'll be watching Saturday, and I appreciate it, man.
Thanks, buddy. I appreciate you.
All right. Dana White. I talk to him about 3 times a year. I'm not sure there's a guy I like to talk to more than Dana White. You learn a little about a UFC. You learn a lot about him. You learn a lot about business. My perfect guest. He just gives you, it's like a book. Several different chapters. We get through all of them 3 or 4 times a year. By the way, we have a YouTube channel now, The Volume Sports. You can also follow us Instagram and Twitter at The Volume Sports. Rate, review, subscribe. God, I love this podcast. This was fun.